In Jesus' name, Almighty God, we have come again into your presence. Lord, the only reason we come to you is because we know that salvation is with you. Save this morning. By reason of your word, deliver us from our destruction this morning. Lord Jesus, let your word renew us. Let your word purify us. Let your word strengthen us this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way, Lord, and take your rightful place. I prepare every heart for your word this morning. We make every heart a fertile ground for your word. Lord, as we sow the seed of your word, let it bring forth fruit in hundredfold, in millionfold. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. We want to go into our usual Sunday school. How many of us love the Sunday school? Praise the Lord. You know, when the preacher comes out there and start to preach, we often are not able to stop him and ask questions. But with the Sunday school, we can ask questions. If there are things we don't understand, we can ask questions. So this morning, if you have any questions, please remember to ask. It may not necessarily be on what we are teaching this morning. It may be something that you have been pondering over or wondering about. By the special grace of God, we are going to continue where we left last week. Last week, we looked at the burnt offering. And we said some things about the burnt offering. We said the burnt offering was an offering that was given whole to the Lord. Everything had to be burnt. And we said that for us, as children of God, we have to give ourselves completely to God. And as we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible enjoins us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, as our reasonable service. And I said, look, when we talk about something reasonable, it's like the minimum expectation. That is what God expects from us, the burnt offering. And of course, I mean, this morning, we are going to go ahead and consider the procedure itself. I don't know if anyone has the New Living Translation, New Living Translation of the Bible. If you have New Living Translation, because it's so simple, it's so simplified. That's why I read it there last night. You know, so it will have given us very good account. But I can read from King James Version if we don't have. You have New Living. Okay. Please bring your New Living. Let me read it. Because I have the microphone. So I can read it loudly. Thank you. So we are going to read from verse 3 to 17. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the herd, it must be a male with no defects. Bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle so you may be accepted by the Lord. Lay your hand on the animal's head and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, making you right with him. Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence. And Aaron's sons, the priests, will present the animal's blood by splattering it against all sides of the altar that stands at the entrance to the tabernacle. Then skin the animal and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron, the priests, will build a wood fire on the altar. They will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and fat, on the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must first be washed with water. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. How much of the sacrifice? How much? What portion of the sacrifice will be burned? It says the entire sacrifice must be burned. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the flock, it may be either a sheep or a goat, but it must be a male with no defects. You can see something keep recurring, like I said before. It must be with what? With no defect. Without blemish. It must be with no defect. In other words, we, as the living sacrifice, when we are being presented before God, we must be without blemish. So what we are saying is this: God's standard has not changed. Because Jesus says he's coming for a church without what? Without spot or wrinkle. So it's still the same standard that he asked for in Leviticus that he's still asking of us. You will see what is different now. What is different is that we are not struggling on our own anymore. Jesus has paid the price and has given us the grace to live in him. But the standard of God has not what? Has not changed. Praise the Lord. So without spot or wrinkle. Slaughter the animal on the north side of the altar in the Lord's presence. And Aaron's sons, the priest, will splatter his blood against all sides of the altar. Then cut the animal in pieces. And the priest will arrange the pieces of the offering, including the head and fat, on the wood burning on the altar. But the internal organ and the legs must first be washed with water. The internal organ, the legs, the dirty area, God said they have to be what? Washed. Let me go to verse 14. If you present a bird as a burnt offering to the Lord, choose either a turtle dove or a young pigeon. The priest will take the bird to the altar, wring off its head, and burn it on the altar. But first, he must drain his blood against the side of the altar. The priest must also remove the crop and the feathers and throw them in the ashes on the east side of the altar. Then, grasping the bird by its wing, the priest will tear the bird open, but without tearing it apart. Then he will burn it as a burnt offering on the wood, burning on the altar. It's a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Now, when you look at where we have read, and you look at some of the lessons that we've had recently, we started with the building of the tabernacle. And we said to us that one of the principles we are meant to learn from studying these is that God does not just build or do things haphazardly. And anyone who wants to work with God must be ready not to do things or work haphazardly. You must be ready to do things according to instruction. When God was speaking to the priests here, in fact, he was so specific, he gave them instructions. Instructions on when to do what, where to do what, how to do what. He was very, very specific, such that if they did not follow the instruction of God, then the sacrifice will not be acceptable. I need to point it out here, and I'm sure we are well aware, that we thank Jesus for that which he has done. That we are no longer regimented. We can worship him in what? In spirit and in what? And in truth. We can worship him with careless abandon. We don't have to be in a particular spot to worship God. We can worship God anywhere, anytime. We can worship him everywhere. That's why the Bible says we should pray without ceasing. So which means wherever we are able to keep worshiping, we are able to keep praying. But there are still some principles that are applicable to now. The reason God gave specific instruction telling them when to do what and how to do what, where to do what, is because God is a God of what? A God of order. He likes order. One of the first things that you will notice in the life of anyone who is genuinely born again is that order will come to that life. I'm sure you've heard testimonies of people, including my testimony. People whose lives have been chaotic. And when they meet the Lord, what happens? The Lord restores order. There are many examples. Think of the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years, her life was what? Was disordered. Her life was in what? In disarray. Every little cent she earned, what did she use it for? She used it to pay doctors. She used it to pay physicians. Every moment of her life was preoccupied with what? How to get healed. So, in other words, she was in emotional turmoil. She was in financial turmoil. Physically, she was in turmoil. I'm sure we understand it, that in those days, when a woman was experiencing what she was experiencing, she was regarded as unclean and was not meant to be in the midst of the people of God. So you can imagine living a life of 12 years of being unclean, not being able to freely associate, not being able to go to the temple and worship your God like every other person. So what happened? She met Jesus. And her contact with Jesus changed everything in one moment. God restored order into her life. God will restore order into somebody's life here today in Jesus' name. After God has restored order into our lives, it is then we can present ourselves as what? As a living sacrifice to the Lord. Remember, we are talking about the burnt offering this morning. God is interested in order. And the thing is that, remember we talked about the fact that the burnt offering was a whole offering. The whole thing was burnt completely. So, in other words, the one whom God comes to his life, there should be no aspect of our lives that is left untouched by God. In other words, when God comes into your life, God is able to touch your physical body. God is able to touch your finances. God is able to touch your health. God is able to touch your home. God is able to touch your family. God is able to touch your intellect. God is able to touch your emotion. God is able to touch every facet of your life. So, when you present yourself as a living sacrifice unto the Lord is set to touch every area of your life. and he will touch you today in Jesus' name. That is the way the Lord asks for everyone who will present themselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. If you look at where we read, if you look at our bulletin, just count paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4. Paragraph 4, the last two lines, it says, by this token, the offerer indicated that he consecrated everything to God and that henceforth God will be his portion. So in other words, anyone who comes to God and really wants to be a sacrifice consecrates everything in his life to God. He surrenders everything to God and God becomes his portion. He will be your portion today in Jesus' name. I say he will be your portion today in the mighty name of Jesus. Order. That is order in the life of someone who comes to God. Let's look at order in the church. One of the ways you will know that God is in control in a place is that there is what? There is order. So it's not just in the life of an individual. In fact, I told us the other time that the first thing that God did when he was creating heaven and earth was to bring order, to reign. In the life of a church, God loves to have order as well. Now, after some discussions and readings, I discovered that something is very important to God, which I will share with us this morning. Do you know that as children of God, when we come together, it's such a wonderful thing when we come to worship God together and worship him in unity. In fact, it's very, very special to God when we're able to love one another and worship him in unity. But you know what? It seems to me that God prefers order to unity. Am I right? No one is agreeing with me. It looks like God prefers orderliness to just being united. I will show us. Who has New King James Version? New King James Version. Open to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Read verse 1 and then read verse 4. Is someone agreeing with me? Not yet. Okay. The children of men came together. The Bible said the whole world was with one language. In other words, what does that mean? There was unity. Not only that, if you go to verse 4, they came together and said, let us build for ourselves a tower. And let us do something. Let us do something. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let us do what? Let's make a name for ourselves. So the children of men wanted what? Prominence. They wanted to make a name for themselves. So those of us who always want prominence, who want to make a name for ourselves, do you know there was nothing wrong in people being united, in them being united? Do you know what the problem was? They were united not for God's vision for their lives. They were united for the wrong reason. They were not united for God's vision, for God's word, in obedience to him. And what happened? That mission failed. So, God wants us to be united for the right reason, to be united in obedience to him, to be united in doing his will, to be united in pursuing his vision. So when he gives a vision, in a gathering like this, he wants us to be united in carrying out the vision. Not everyone with his own opinion or everyone with his own agenda. We have to do God's what? God's own agenda. That's what he wants us to prosecute. So the children of men were united, but they had a different agenda from God. So you can see that God, in place of unity, would trade his principles, his words. And that was what happened. So the Tower of Babel came crashing. Praise the Lord. So unity is not enough, but obedience to the Lord. So God is so much interested in order that his vision is followed, that there is obedience to the word. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. It says, let all things be done what? Decently and in order. In the house of God, there is need for what? For decency. There is need for what? Orderliness. You can imagine if we are just a ball. I mean, our body is just like a ball. No arms, no legs, nothing whatsoever. So there is no separation of function. There's no separation of, you know, of parts and so on. I just wonder how we will have been able to function the way we function. Let everything be done decently and in order. Let's look at Titus chapter 1 verse 5. Titus 1 5. Titus chapter 1 verse 5. Praise the Lord. The instruction to Titus was what? He said, go to the church and do what? And set things in order. Set things in what? In order. And then appoint what? Elders. So in other words, Titus as the pastor appoints the elders after setting things in order so that there is orderliness. Things are not chaotic. The house of God is not a place for chaos. It's not a place where we just do things we like. It's not a place where we just... It's a place of freedom, liberty in the Holy Spirit. But not a place where things are rowdy and things are in confusion. It's a place where there is orderliness. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. Praise the Lord. He says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So in other words, I mean, God is well aware that the Holy Spirit is there to instruct us. Yet he made a provision that the fivefold ministry or the ascension ministry or the ascension gift be there to serve a particular purpose. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for instruction, for reproof, everything that is needed. He said, so that we can, and this will continue. He said, this will continue until something happens, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. So in other words, there has to be a building up in the body of Christ. Through who? Through whom? There's going to be a building up of the body of Christ through whom? Through the fivefold ministries. Evangelists, prophets, teachers, pastors, you know, and the apostles. That through them, there's a building up of the body of Christ until we have a good understanding of what the Lord wants and the expectation of God for our lives. Praise the Lord. Now we are talking about orderliness in giving our sacrifice. In other words, orderliness in worship. It's still the same thing we're talking about here. What then happens? Because there's a tendency for us to say, this is New Testament era. We are in a new dispensation. We don't need leaders. Everyone is a leader. After all, we are all born again. Everyone, in fact, I've had people say to me before, they say, why don't we run church like UNO? You know what happens with UNO Security Council? They will make somebody the chairman for this session. Then next session, they make someone else the chairman. Then the following session, they make someone else. Then following that, they make someone else. So it keeps changing. That is not the way of God. That is not how God operates. When God says there has to be order in the church, God's expectation from us is that there will be submission. Submission is not something that is forced. It's something that we willingly give. It's something that we willingly do. We may say that it belongs to the old era, the Old Testament. I will tell you that it is not. Opens to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. And the only reason God is asking us to do that is because of what we are going to read now. Can someone read for me? For it is what? Unprofitable for who? Is it for God? It's for who? For us. There are some churches where people don't want leaders. There are some churches where people say, look, are you Are you born special? Why should you lead? But the Bible is saying that the reason, can we read another translation, please? Hebrews 13:17. Praise the Lord. Who benefits? But do we ever read this place? Do we read? Do we see it this way? So, what we are saying is that God's principle has not changed. It's still the same principle. Even though we don't slaughter goats, cows, and whatever, and sprinkle the blood anymore, but God has made provisions even for this dispensation. And my prayer is that the benefit that God has in store for us will be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. None of us will miss our blessings, because in order to get our blessings, we need to do it the way God expects us to do it. When we devise our own means, honestly, we may do it very well. It may appear that things have been done very well, but I'm telling you, like the Bible said, it may not be for your benefit. When we are talking about benefit now, when we are talking about benefit, we are not talking about benefit in terms of houses. It's not benefit in terms of cars. He said they watch over what? Over your souls. And I've seen, over time, I've seen something. Everyone who has come and genuinely really wants to know of the Lord and yielding to the Lord. Do you know what I've observed? You can see the rapidity with which they grow, and you see life in Christ in their lives. Everyone who come with an attitude of self-sufficiency and don't want to know the word, are not ready to submit to the word, I've told us it's not something that is forced. It's something that we willingly give. You will see their lives, they may be in church for 20 years, nothing changes. Things will still be the same thing. Remember, the first thing we said is that your life becomes less chaotic when God enters into your life. You'll see that their lives is still chaotic. And I have, and I'm telling you, you may be a pastor and your life may be chaotic. I have seen it. You may be a pastor and your life will be what? Will be very, very chaotic, except you allow the Holy Spirit to reign in your life. Any questions? No questions, no comments. Okay. Can we just pray this morning? I want us to speak to the Lord. Remember, the burnt offering is talking about a whole sacrifice. Whole sacrifice. Everything is burnt. It's burnt, given unto the Lord. So this morning, what I want us to do is this, is to say, Father, I come in total surrender to you. Take me, use me, make me your own. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want us to just come in total surrender to the Lord. Say, take me, use me, make me your own. Every area of my life, every facet of my life, make it yours. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the world see your hand upon my life. One of the first things that people will see upon your life is that they will be order. Father, restore order into my life. Restore order into my home. Restore order into my business. Restore order into my work. Restore order into my intellect. Restore order into every facet of my life. Restore order. Let there be order. Father, let there be order. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we ask and we pray that we will profit from your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Is any life chaotic today? Father, let there be order. Is any life in turmoil today? Father, let there be order in the mighty name of Jesus. That is how people will know that you are in our life. Father, let your hand be mighty upon us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.